very blessed and honored to be here today. A little more so than usual, if I'm honest with you, because I get a chance to hear some of my folks. I get to hear some of my family share today. It's Laywood this Sunday. And the purpose of Laywood this Sunday is simply this, that you would hear from those who are sitting next to you or around you, that you would hear from those who go to the same church that you do, what God is doing in their lives. As human beings, even though we are commanded to be in community, even though we know that we are the body of Christ, even though that we are not created, nor can we walk this journey of faith alone, I want to hit that really hard really quickly. If you're just trying to do you and Jesus, you are not created for that. And I understand. If I've got the word of the Lord and I've got Jesus, I've got all that I need. You're absolutely right, except for the fact that you were created to be in community, except for the fact that you're created to be a part of the body. If we are not careful, our individualistic culture and society pushes us to withdraw. Does it not?
Yes.
Right? We don't even talk to each other anymore. We don't. Summer camp took up all the phones. Well, we didn't. But most people were smart enough to keep their phones away. As soon as summer camp was over, after the last service, the rule is after the last service, you can have your phone at the back. Right after the last service, a group of kids goes up, and they sit around the table, and they're all sitting around the table Facebooking and texting each other. He right beside you, man. Like, he's right. Y'all were just talking 5 minutes ago. You guys climbed a rope ladder. You've been playing basketball. Y'all were just talking. And now, listen, that's our culture. And if we are not careful, our culture pushes us to be individualized even in our faith. You're not supposed to do faith alone. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that Jesus is not enough. I'm not saying that his word is not powerful, but you are not created to be by yourself. And that is the power and the value of lay witness. Because even though we know those things to be true, we're supposed to be a community, we're part of the body, it is easy for us to think that what's happening in our world is only happening to us. The challenges that we face, we are facing those challenges. There are times when we walk in those doors and we don't have any faith. There are times we walk in those doors and we are just here because our feet brought us here. Because we just have the case. It's just part of our, it's just what we do. This is what we do on a Sunday. We come here because people are here. We come here because we have hope for something, but we don't have any faith. You're not alone in that. You're not alone in the challenges of your faith. You're not alone in being challenged by our culture and our society. You're not alone in this politically polarized climate trying to figure out what would Jesus do old school. You're not alone in that. And that's why we share our faith on Lay Witness Sunday. We should probably do it more. Let's be real. You would probably get more out of other people sharing than you do me. But that's fine. I have job justification, so I got to be here every other Sunday. But this Sunday, you get to hear from some of your own. And so I hope that you will welcome Miss Kathy Croniger as she comes to share today. Try to use the mic. I know it's hard.
Okay.
No, I'm not a mic person. How does it sound?
A little closer? I know it's hard.
Okay.
Yay.
Okay. So I have many notes because in the brain of mine, tons of things can come up. I'm 60. So none of you are, but I am. Okay. Now, most of you probably know me. I'm Kathy Croniger. I have 5 children and 6 grandchildren. Woo! I've been going to Maranatha for 35 years, give or take some months. Okay. And it's been great. When I first came here, I found this church in the Yellow Pages before we had Google, you know, and all of those things. So I found it in the Yellow Pages. And when I came here, the people that were here, which some of them have gone on to be with the Lord, and some of them have left and moved on, but it was so loving. I couldn't believe the love that they showed me was great. So I'm not going to share a ton of my experiences because Lord knows in 60 years you have a lot of experiences that Christ has brought you through and he's helped you to grow. So I'm going to focus on one that gave me my first dose of doubt, okay, which was pretty striking to me because I didn't know I had doubt, okay? So that was a tough thing for me to learn. So in about 1998, I had some pain in my eyes, and I thought, oh, you know, people get older, they get pain in their eyes. Never mind, this is, you know, 22 years ago. I mean, I wasn't 60, but I thought, I'm getting older. There's a little pain in my eyes. Okay, no big deal. I spoke to a couple people in the church about it, and they said, well, you should probably get that checked out. Long story short, I got it checked out, but by the time I went to the doctors, I couldn't see. So I had to go to the doctors now. And I went, and they diagnosed me with something called optic neuritis. Optic neuritis is a neurological disorder that you have swelling in your optic nerve, so it blinds you, some people. Okay, I was blinded. At this time, I questioned God. Oh, why is this happening to me? I've been a good girl. I've been pretty decent. You know, I'm not 100%, but I don't murder people. You know, so I don't. This is a punishment, isn't it? No, it wasn't a punishment. What I didn't know is that I was growing the entire time Christ was with me. Now, like I said, I had a lot of pain, and, you know, I went to a lot of doctors, and, you know, I finally realized, okay, pain is pain, I'll just deal with it. The physical pain was one thing, but I also didn't know it at the time, but emotionally, I was a bit weak. You know, I thought, after going to all the doctors and they said, we don't know what's wrong with you, you've had optic neuritis, that's your diagnosis. I finally had to go to a head doctor, a shrink, psychiatrist. Okay, so I went and I thought, he looks at me and he goes, so how can I help you? I don't know, you're the doctor. What's wrong with me? The problem is I couldn't sleep because my mind was so filled with so many different things, like kids and growing up and missing out on things. And, you know, who wants to have MS? Because that's related to optic neuritis. It's some of the first symptoms. So, you know, so I'm thinking, MS, this isn't happening to me. But anyway, the shrink says, I got it. He said, I know what you want. You want me to tell you what you have and what we can do to fix it. I said, you're exactly right. I do. That's exactly what I want. So do it. He said, I can't with you. I can't tell you exactly what you have because your symptoms are related to multiple issues, multiple disorders. Great. I just spent $300 and I already knew that. You know, so I said to him, he said, you want to? So I said, okay, so what are we going to do here? My face is in pain. I can't get sleep. I think I'm going crazy. He said, well, you're not. Most people that are going crazy don't know that. So I said, okay, what are we going to do? I've got to go ahead and get through this. I can't just be not me. You know, I want to be me. And he said, okay, so if I told you I had some medicine that you could take and you probably would feel better. Oh, you got a pill? Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah, right now. Just if you've got medicine that will help me along my way, because Christ bought me, he brought me to this place, and this is exactly where I want to be, exactly where he wants me. So the whole time I'm growing. I don't really realize it, but I'm growing. And I took that pill that night, and I slept absolutely the entire night. I hadn't slept the entire night probably in months. I was driving my family crazy. So then, sorry, Ben. So then, when I woke up that morning, I stretched in my bed and I said, man, God, you are good. You are so good. And without this circumstance and without what's happened to me, I would not have grown as much as I have. And yes, it was hard. And yes, I had a lot of doubts. But I'm telling you, I grew so much that year, and now I wake up, I'm thankful for everything. I love you all, but you say things like, I just want to share this scripture with you. This is something I carry around. It's not anything major or prophetic or anything like that. It's, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I do it frequently. I keep little bits of that with me all the time. Who am I? No, I'm not a surgeon. I haven't been to the moon. No, I'm not a scientist.
I'm a child of the Most High King. Am I happy about it? You bet I am. Am I going somewhere? Yes, I continually grow every day. He has the ability to show me the way, and I am so grateful for it. I don't know where I'd be without him. So I love you all, and that's about it.
So she's going to start speaking about once a quarter. Yeah, that was outstanding. Thank you, Catherine. God bless you. Faith in times of doubt and how God grows you, especially through the challenging times. Have you noticed that? When things are okay and you've got it all,
yeah.
How much growing are you doing? But then the challenging times come and we begin to grow. So why do we hate the challenges so much? Why are the down times so frustrating? Why is it that when we're down, that's when we doubt? Because that's when God comes and that's when we allow him to. That, I'm preaching now. Look, there's another group of people who would like to come and speak with you. And that's the Bankolis. Come on, Bankolis. The applause died off a little early. It should have died off about right now. Because you guys came from the back, that's what happens. Trying to use the mic, I know it's hard.
Alright, we all have the moments, so this is the moment that you guys remember Moses and Aaron? So Moses, God could speak to Moses, but he's using Aaron to speak. So Jenny is going to be Aaron to speak.
They had all these things going
through and we had prayers. Tyrannie was covered with prayers from the church, from our family. She was covered with prayers. And I don't think I was worried at the time. I was just kind of like, okay, well, these are things we need to pray about. I was more stressed about her. I didn't want her to suffer. But they went through the list and I thought, okay. And they were going, why are you so calm and quiet? I'm like, I'm just processing, trying to remember everything that we're supposed to pray about. I'm going through the list of what we should pray about. And she was in the hospital for over maybe 3 months. And you guys covered her with prayers. Prayers. And when she left the hospital, all the things on that list checked off. Not an issue. When she came home, there were only two concerns. The first one was her eyesight was not the best. And we went to the eye doctor and he said, well, she'll probably need glasses, maybe surgery. Come back next year and we'll see what it looks like. And so every year we would go back and he would say, there's a little bit of improvement. We'll give it another year. She probably won't, we'll worry about glasses when she starts school. We'll see what to do. And every year he would say, I think we'll need them next year. Next year we'll probably do glasses. Maybe surgery, we'll see. This year she went and her eyesight is perfect. And she can see things we can't see. We need to get our eyes checked. And so that was one example of how when we pray to God, sometimes he answers quickly. Sometimes he's just like that. They were worried about bleeding in her brain. None. It was quick. Next day they were like, there's no problem there. And in some things he takes his time. Every time we went, he would say, it's just a little bit better, we'll see. And so when you send your prayers to God, don't think just because it's not quick that God has forgotten it. It's still there, just let him do his work. Amen. The second concern we had was future hospitalization. So the day before we left the hospital, the nurse sits me down and she goes, don't feel like a failure or discouraged when she comes back and she's hospitalized, because a lot of queens like her, they all come back. They all come back over the next couple of years, every year around RSV time. They don't do well. They all come back, it's okay. And I remember thinking, you guys have been so wonderful, but she's not coming back. We're good, we're not coming back. And they look at you and go, okay, it's okay, just preparing you. And they had prescribed the monthly shots that she was supposed to take during the winter time. And of course it wasn't covered by insurance. It was like $400 a shot. And there were some programs that maybe you could get qualified for if you went through some group that was studying or whatever. So they left us with that prescription, some acid reflux medication, and instructions on how to position her after she eats and so on and so forth. And long story short, we came home, we prayed, okay, what's gonna be the next step? What are we gonna do? And God just put it in our heart that I was gonna stay home with her. And Bola was at peace with it, and I was scared. I was thinking how we're gonna manage. Joseph's gonna have to leave his school. I worked at the school that he was going to, and I'm like, we won't get the discount when he has come home. What's gonna happen? And so on and so forth. What's that going to mean? And God handled it. It was a month to month, week to week. He was just, we're fine. Everything's going to work out. And we prayed about it, so God's going to handle it. And I'm thinking, I write my little notes on my paper. These are possibilities. But he's just like, we prayed about it, and God is going to handle it. And so one thing that we went through, we had to pray all the time. And it made us closer, praying all the time together. And especially for me, I learned that when I found myself writing, okay, I don't know, I'm worried about this, that, and the other. Just stop and go. We're going to pray. Because he was always like, just stop and pray. Just pray and let it go. And when you're going through something, don't be afraid to find someone to sit down and pray with. Instead of just, you think, oh, I'm praying to God, and it's just me and God. Sometimes God is like, you're doing this every day because you won't let it go and let me do it. And sometimes you need to say it to someone else to get it, to look someone in the face and they go, yes, I'm with you, I'm praying with you about it. And then you can kind of let it go. Because you do circles in your head when you're by yourself. And so the thing we learned is God sees everything, he knows everything, and most importantly, he cares. Fast forward now, I'm homeschooling Joseph, he's doing well. Sometimes I even use threats like, you're going back to school? Like, hello? So it turned out, you know, it turned out well, he likes it. Bola now works from home twice a week. We would have never seen that 4 years ago. And so now I can work part-time tutoring, and God's just put things in order. And Tyranny has never been hospitalized since we left. Downstairs making Christina work. So in closing, just want to reread the last part of the Bible verse from Matthew 6. Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He may not give you what you need in the way you want, but trust him, he can provide, he will provide, and you will even have joy in it. Yes. He doesn't ignore your joy. He doesn't say, this is what you need, I don't care if you're happy or not. Right. He gives you what you need, and he knows that your joy is part of it, and he gives you that joy. So just trust him, hold on to him, he knows, and you'll look back and go, oh wow, thank you.
Moses, well done. Aaron, God bless you. Great stories of faith. You heard all the little things that she said. You just got to let it go. You just got to trust the Lord, and man, those things are so big. Thank you for sharing, Bank Boys. Appreciate you. One more family I want to invite up, and that's the Ice and Bice family. Come on, Ice and Bice. Moses, which one's Aaron? Just kidding. You go first, she's saying.
No, she's
not saying.
Good morning, everyone. I was asked to give a presentation this morning by my Moses. Because yesterday my mother-in-law fell off the steps, and he was at the ER with her, so he said, that was the plan, but praise God, my mother-in-law's fine, and she was sent home, which is asleep. So here he is, and he's probably going to see something after I'm done. But I'm just going to read, because I don't want to go over time. I want to read a verse first. It's from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the verse that talks about love. And you're all familiar with that, and I'm going to read the one that's after that from the New Living Translation. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put my childish things. Now I see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely, just as God knows each one of us completely. Back in 2010, while Gary and I and some church folks from here went to Israel, God impressed my heart that he desired I become a mother. I have no desire to be one, so I asked God to at least give me something to work with, a feeling, I don't know, something. So I wrote a prayer there, and when we went to the Wailing Wall, I sort of did a cross and leave it at that. And one afternoon, God answered that prayer. Specifically, remember, I was at Martin Lee's house. It was Sunday after church, and we were having a little fellowship there. And I think Crystal was here. That's why we're having a little fellowship there. I saw Charlotte sitting on Monica's lap. She was clapping her little hands. And I told God, if I can have a child as beautiful as her, then I'd be okay to be a mom. That was a little selfish, you know? Like, not really spiritual, but you see. That was something, right? All I prayed for was a little something. And what you don't know is Charlotte is a miracle baby. She's not supposed to be here. She was diagnosed with a very severe diagnosis, and she was not supposed to be here. But how beautiful she was at one-something-year-old, clapping her hands. And maybe that desire sparked something in me out of the prayers that we prayed here at church, that she would live. And the miracle that she is also became a miracle for me to desire and be willing to yield to God's plan and be a mom. So fast forward 2012, Christmas Eve, Gary and I found out I was pregnant, and that was God's Christmas gift for us. So you can't really, when God announces it in Christmas, you can't really, like, oh, yes, he was shocked, I was shocked. But, you know, it was a Christmas gift, so you receive it with grace and with happiness in your heart, right? And then Nathaniel, and then when I was pregnant, what a joy. I never thought I would really enjoy being carrying somebody. And then when he was born, he was a joy. He was a real joy, and he comforted so many people by just being here. Finally, in 2015, so after he was born, I had a lot of medical problems, and Gary had some problems too. We were dealing with sciatica, and I was dealing with some nerve issues. So I went back to work, but 2015, Nathaniel was maybe 2.5 years old. I had to quit working because my nerves wasn't healing enough, and I work hard, you know, helping people physically, and then I wasn't physically able to heal. When I get back home, I have to take care of a baby, and he was heavy. So, maybe I should just read this. That's easier. So, months before that, I was already, so I quit working because of what I had, but months before that, I was already considering staying home and homeschooling because I began to observe that he has some special needs. By God's grace, we were able to transition from one income to, from two incomes to one, and then I thrived as a mom, and he thrived too. His speech improved, and he even began reading on his own by 2.5 years old. His problems of social sensitivity and anxiety seemed to be resolving as well. He even participated in the Christmas play 2 years ago. I guess you guys remember that. He couldn't be downstairs because he couldn't be in a closed room. He's jumping a lot and can't help to hold him down. But you guys remember it? He said the verse that was supposed to be said. All the anxiety I felt to get to that point, but God is good. And so he was doing well as I homeschooled him. And we started a little ministry going on. We started a little ministry. We would visit elderly in shut-ins, and he would say his little verses, and he would sing him their songs, his songs. And he would pray for them. He really did. He prayed for them. Very simple prayers. Lord, please make grandma feel better, X, Y, and Z. And it was beautiful to watch. And it also was painful because during that time, Miss Janice was at home and we were able to visit her a lot. And at least cheer her up a little bit. Last summer, after Nathaniel turned 5, we went home to the Philippines to see my grandparents and do a little bit of missions work. And I really thank you all for sending us and supporting us. When we came back, he was a different child and he was more difficult to manage. And at the same time, I was also pregnant. And it was just such a trying time. I didn't know what to do. So we went back to homeschool, and whenever we go to the co-op, he was stimming. I didn't know that word until we got the diagnosis. He was climbing up the walls. He was covering his ears. He couldn't sing the songs anymore. He was being difficult to his classmates, difficult to the teachers. He was spitting. He was a lot of things that I wasn't expecting that would happen. And so they told us to have him diagnosed, and then we did. And my friends from MOPS and CBS helped me to get him through this public school system to get the, you know, all this battery of tests. And so we did that, and they said he has ASD and he has ADHD. Now we have something to work with, but at the same time, when I started doing OT and speech and all this therapies, I was told that we don't really know what is a, since no autistic kid is the same as another one, because it's a spectrum, they can't really say this worked and that's what we're gonna do to Nathaniel. Everything has to be trial and error. And when I started reading on what to do, there's just so many things. But one thing that really helped me was talking to a friend who's an occupational therapist. She's actually Ms. Susan's daughter, and she said, you know, Shalani, my philosophy is to just have a relationship with the children and love them. And with that, you know, the treatment goes very well, whatever treatment that you're going to be doing. And I was thankful that she said that to me, because that's the same philosophy I do with my patients. And it just made sense, even though I don't know what to do exactly with autism. So last year before I went home, I started painting Psalm 23 painting, and it was that every single line in that chapter is like a sword of the Spirit to the lights of the enemy. The Lord will restore your soul. The Lord will lead you through paths of righteousness. Even though you walk in the dark valley, he will be with you. He will comfort you. He will anoint your head with oil. All these things. So as I painted it, it was redeeming my heart too. What I did not know in that painting, I only put 4 stones in there. It was a scene in my head from 1 Samuel 17, when David, after he slayed Goliath, and he was there playing his harp again. Because, you know, he left his flock with a friend, and he went to deliver the cheese and everything else, provision for his brothers, and that's when he slayed Goliath. And of course, he has to go back and get his sheep back before he could serve King Saul. But I was just thinking that, you know, in his peaceful self, he put his rocks down and he was playing the harp again for a moment. He was worshiping the Lord, and that was the scene in my brain. When I realized there were 4 stones, when I realized one day that actually he picked 5 stones to go and slay Goliath, but he only used one. And I said, oh my God, he only used one. And so I went back and turned on the light, and I looked at my painting and I said, there's 4 rocks. He didn't need 5. He needed 1 to slay the giant. I don't need the gazillion of treatment strategies. I need 1 treatment strategy, which is what the Lord was telling me. Go back to 1 Corinthians 13, and what is that? Love. What is love? Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love does not remember the things that are frustrating. You know, I get frustrated sometimes because you tell him something, he doesn't really get it. Please sit down. Please sit down. How many
Christ can say that. But if you have the love of God in you, and that's your treatment strategy, then hopefully it will work out.
Yes, it will.
So please pray for us. It's so nice to listen to Jamie. She's wrapped her testimony in a bow. God has wrapped this testimony in a bow. And she offered it to you. But we have our whole life, his whole life ahead of us. And we have to figure out how to love him, how to raise him to be who God wanted him to be. I have a lot of growing to do as a mom. I have a lot of faith to ask God to give me. And I have to hope a lot. With that, I would like to bless you all, because God can do above and beyond more than what we can expect or imagine. So I guess my husband's going to wrap this up for you all.
Well, you have to be patient with me, because
after that, you wrote on the smallest piece of paper.
So I'll tell you the story, because we got the text Friday night.
Yeah.
Hey, you think you can give a testimony Sunday morning? And so Friday night, I was pretty beat from work. I came home, this happens a lot on Fridays, just wasted from the week, and I can't think, can't process anything. I'm like, okay, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up, I'm going to feel fresh. And before anybody gets up, I'm going to get in mode, and I'm going to just get some things on paper and to process what's happening in my mind. So I go to bed, and sorry, just bear with me. Suck it up here. My hands are already wet from wiping all the tears in this wet too.
Use the towel, man. It's a community towel. Use the towel.
Community towel. That feels really nice.
I know.
Okay, get it together. So I get this call at 3:25 in the morning, which at 3:25 in the morning, when the phone rings, you're never really excited about it, are you? Because I don't really expect Edward to call me 3:25. Hey man, what's up? How you doing? You know, so it was my sister. Hey, I want you to know that mom just fell down the steps. So my mom's a night owl, so she just, I don't know what she's thinking, 2:00 in the morning, she decides to take the trash out behind the house, and she goes down the steps. There's like 4 or 5 wooden steps, and it's kind of a strange transition to these long concrete steps. Well, she lost her footing, and she just spilled. So she's 80, and as soon as my sister says this, I said, okay, what is she doing? What's happening? Well, she's really sore, her neck hurts, and she banged her elbow up, and they had already gotten her in her bed, and she's like trying to go to sleep. They bandaged her up. I think she put some pain patches. So I'm thinking, okay, should I call earlier? Should I call my mom? Because it's a different number. She said, well, she's in bed, let her rest. So I'm thinking, okay, so I didn't really sleep that much. So I fell asleep for a little while, got back up, and maybe around 8 yesterday morning, I called, and she's mad at me for waking her up because she just fell asleep. So, mom, what are you doing? Well, I fell down the steps, and I'm sore, and well, we're going to go to the doctor. No, I can rest some. Just let me sleep for a little while. And so I'm arguing with her on the phone because she's stubborn. I don't know if but she's tough. Yeah, that feels good. So she's really, really tough. And she has a really high tolerance for pain. So eventually, kind of convince her to, okay, we'll go to the hospital. After she accomplishes this list, well, I need to wash my hair and I need it. And but I can't move my left arm, and so anyway, I'm on my way. I would call mom. I'm on my way. I'll be there. And she's mad at me again. You gotta give me time. Is there really anything more important than getting checked out? So I get over there, and eventually we make it to the hospital. They do a lot of X-rays and the CAT scan, and so she has a broken clavicle, which first thought, it's kind of tough, but compared to what could have been, yes. I mean, really, 8 years old, and she's, you know, she doesn't, you've, many of you have seen her before, she doesn't move like lightning. So, you know, to take a spill down the steps, I mean, honestly, it's God's miracle, God's hand of protection on her life, because it could have, the results could have been anything. So, praise God for that. So, it's about this thing with Nathan. You know, I really struggle with a label thing with Pastor Ben knows that because I've had some discussions with him about it and the autism thing. And you know, I struggle with that because it doesn't want to enter my mind. I'm just trying to process things. And say, but he's this and this and this. Why do God put him in a category? Because I think that the way my mind works is if you put me or somebody else in a category, they're in that box. They can't get out of that box. You know, so he has his strengths and his weaknesses, but it's really been a struggle sometimes. You know, it always happens when you're exhausted, you come home at night and he's bouncing off the walls and say, jump on daddy, jump on daddy. And then I get Kale. So I'm really trying to learn how to process it all. But God is faithful. And I'll tell you a little something. I mean, look at my Bible here. Okay, first scripture I have, in a little event happened early this past week. I was at work and working on a car, and I broke a windshield on a brand new car. Well, it's a long story, but I know my boss is not going to pay for it, and I'm not going to expect the owner to pay for it, who's a friend of mine. So as soon as I did it, I walked away, went into this room, sat down, and pulled up this scripture, and you're going to laugh at me because I just picked up where I left off the last time I was reading, and it's James chapter 1, and James says, you know, letters from James to the 12 tribes, and then, and I'm reading in the New Living Translation, and verse 2, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider an opportunity for great joy. And I stopped, right? Right then I stopped. I was like, yeah, that's a good one. Ha ha ha. No, I don't really do that where I'm like, oh, Lord, sorry, I hope that's not awkward. But that's what I did. Come on, really? Seriously? This is for the great joy. So after getting over, you know, I look back down the scripture and it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So I know I'm not perfect yet. Interesting part to get into, and you know, James is one of those books, sorry for up and down with the mic. James is one of those challenging books. He says some things that kind of really put you in a place where you're like, really? I'm supposed to be that? How can I achieve that? So I'm thankful that I was reading in the New Living Translation because I got a new spin after decades of dealing with this scripture. I got a new spin off the scripture. Verse 5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So the part that I go back to really is, but when you ask, and be sure that your faith is in God alone. One of the other, I think the new King James says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Which to me, I've always struggled with it because it's so, it makes it sound like it's all on me to figure this out. It's all on me. But you know, faith comes from God. The faith that we have is from God. When we came to the Lord, it's not so much that we had the faith to believe him, but he gave us the faith. You know, the scripture says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So the faith that we have comes from God, so it's reassuring to hear the scripture, the for me, verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. So I know, now I know 100% that my faith is in God alone. My faith may not be perfect, but I know I'm trusting in him. And he's the one that took the first step. It wasn't me. So it kind of puts all the stress back on him, but he's not stressed out about it. But it, you know what I mean? It removes a lot for me and puts it back on God. And I just need to believe that he's the one that's empowering me, that he's the one that's speaking to me, that he's the one that is going to help me and it's going to help my family. So I'm thankful for that. Another scripture I want to go back to. A little while back, maybe 2 months ago or so, a month and a half, Pastor Ben was speaking, and he mentioned this scripture. Again, it's a popular scripture that I've heard many times. And he put it in a little bit different light. He just kind of pulled something back out of it that I wasn't, I don't know, I just caught it. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, we have a lot going for us, but we have a lot against us too. The enemy really pursues us and pushes. You know, we come in here on Sundays, and it's kind of, isn't it, in a way, kind of easy when you see your friends and your brothers and sisters who you know, and you know their stories. It's just encouraging when I walk in the building. I don't think about the things that I've wrestled with throughout the week, but I see you guys, and we talk, and I hear the scripture, and we sing some songs, and it's awesome. But you know, you go out and the rest of the week, and some of the stuff gets left in here, and some of the stuff gets left at home, and you wrestle with these arguments, with the strongholds, because it's all these things that happen inside our minds. Pastor Ben brought that up, because really the war is not us going out and fighting people who don't believe in the Lord, who mock us or whatever else. It's what's happening on the inside. It's what's happening in our hearts. It's what's happening in our minds. And it's that war that God has given us tools to fight over. And he's the one that has told us to cast down arguments and to pull down strongholds. So by God's grace, remember when you face things this week, tomorrow maybe, it's what's happening on the inside. It's not what's happening on the outside. God has really begun a new work in us, and he does that every day. You know, when we get up in the morning, God bless you guys, and may he just help us to keep our minds on him. He's really the source of our strength. And all the things, you know, how many, I just ask you, raise your hands, how many people here have wrestled with things this past week, or maybe there's something in your mind that you've wrestled with day after day? You know, it could be loneliness, it could be fatigue, it could be thinking about what your employer is forcing on you to do that's not good. I mean, it could be anything. I mean, God is faithful to work on those things. And if we consistently refer back to him. And another thing I'll say is to encourage each other. You know, we should really look through the directory maybe and just pick out a phone number here and there and just send a text and remind each other, because every day we go through this stuff. You know, that's a challenge for you. You know, call somebody up you haven't called before in this congregation. Is it going to be a little awkward? Sure. But, you know, we use each other. God uses us to help each other to get through rough times. Just thankful for this church. Been here 27 years, long time. I'm just so thankful because he's transformed everything for me. The way I look at life, he's transformed the people that I spend my time with. He's transformed the way I think about my work, my future. A lot of friends here. I thank you guys for the years and the decades of your patience and your words of encouragement. Thank you so much. I mean, we're just honored, really, to be able to share a little bit of what God's doing. Bless you guys.
I haven't done anything today, well, except for listen and enjoy all the testimonies.
As we close this time, Father, we want to say we are so grateful. Yes. We are so grateful, God, for what you are doing, working and moving in the lives of our people, working and moving in the lives of the people of Maranatha, working and moving in this community and this body. We are so grateful for that, God. I pray your blessing and your mercy on these families who have shared and on all of us, Lord. Help us never to forget that we have people to walk with. We do not walk this life alone. We are part of a body. We are part of a living, breathing, functioning organism. We are all in this together. Help us never to forget that we have support on our left and on our right. Do not allow the enemy, God, to convince us that we are at anything alone, that we should keep silent or keep quiet, or that our pain is too great, or that we should be ashamed, or that we should be prideful. I pray all of that, Father, would just cease, that the love of the Spirit would cover all of that, so that we would have the grace to talk with each other and to spend time with each other and have the mercy to allow everybody's story to be what it is and just to encourage each other in faith and in love. We thank you, God, for all these testimonies. I pray that we would leave encouraged today because you are such a good God and you are working and moving in circumstances and situations, some of them way greater than the things that we deal with. Help us to reprioritize, Father, the things in our lives. God, some of us are calling it. This is just cultural. We have turned discomfort. We are terming discomfort pain. And with those of us who are saying we are in pain, we're actually calling that suffering. Some of us, God, we are saying that we're suffering, but truthfully, we're really okay. Help us to get perspective and to reprioritize our lives, Father, to bring everything before you, and with joy and thanksgiving, let it go so that we can receive the peace that passes all understanding. I thank you for these people, for these family. I thank you for this community, God. I pray that you would bless us all as we follow you to the best of our ability. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.